You're back. In part two, you'll discover sustainable balloons, learn about naked biking, and almost get mugged with men in dresses. This is the traveling radio show Goes to Portland, featuring the music of Portland's very own Three-Leg Torso. It's a beautiful Saturday morning in Portland, and that means everyone goes to the enormous farmers market next to Portland State University. It's practically the lifeblood of the newer, hip, foodie Portland. Even the exotic meat here is politically correct.
This is buffalo tongue.
They have yak steaks.
Yak steaks?
They also have buffalo Rocky Mountain oysters in pairs only.
Hi, this is very exciting.
It is. I think so. I do it every day and I still find it exciting.
That's a good thing.
Yep.
So you've got yak and elk and buffalo.
Yes.
Are these animals on your farm?
Yes.
Oh, pictures. Wow.
We do imperial yaks, royal yaks, imperial trims. We raise, of course, the bison. We've done beefalo.
You sell children?
The kids aren't grass-fed, so we don't eat them.
Okay. You're really into this.
This is a frosted buffalo.
Yes, that's a frosted buffalo.
Sugar coating.
Snow on it, yes. Yeah. They taste better that way.
So how do you eat a yak?
How do you eat beef? Same way.
Same way.
All the same cuts. Tenderloins, New Yorks, ribeyes, top sirloins. Flavor-wise, in between elk and buffalo, if you've had both.
I haven't had either, actually.
It's about 70% less fat than beef. And we're 100% grass-fed, so omega-3s are higher, so it's healthier for you.
So I noticed Rocky Mountain oysters.
Sure.
So how do you...
Pairs only.
You don't eat those raw, like...
You probably could. I'm sure that might boost your fertility. I don't know.
I think we should talk to the balloon animal guy.
The who guy?
Balloon animals.
We're going to go talk to balloon animals now.
Oh, they're squeaky.
It's our non-toxic and biodegradable.
Seriously.
Seriously.
That's an only in Portland comment, you know that. How long have you been making balloon animals?
I've been doing this for about 9 years now.
Why do you do this?
It's fun.
What is your name?
I'm Mr. Z.
Mr. Z, I'm Jeff. Pleasure to meet you, Mr. Z. Thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for stopping by.
Just behind me is a cooking demonstration by Kathy Wims, the chef and owner of Nostrana, one of the very popular neighborhood restaurants.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Kathy.
Nice to meet you, Kathy.
Nice to meet you.
What restaurant do you work at?
Nostrana.
Is it your restaurant?
It is my restaurant.
Wow.
I'm the owner and the head chef.
How exciting. Why Portland?
I love Portland. Portland is like, I think it's the food center of the United States right now. I'd like, just look around the market here today. I mean, this is the most incredible market. It's like the most amazing variety of ingredients compared to other farmers markets in the country that I've gone to. I mean, we don't have like one kind of arugula. We have like four different kinds of arugula that people are growing, and three kinds of parsley, and three kinds of radicchio. And I mean, the variety is just, it's a very rewarding place to cook.
Nostrana.
Nostrana means ours in Italian.
Ours.
And that's how we named the restaurant, because we wanted to support local farmers, local ranchers, all the products that make Oregon great.
You're the filbert lady.
You're welcome.
Is it inappropriate to say that you've got killer hazelnuts?
You want to talk about my killer hazelnuts?
Somehow when you say it, it seems inappropriate. Filberts, right?
Yes, same
filberts,
thing.
Filberts, hazelnuts,
yep.
And they're very Oregon-centric.
Very Willamette Valley Oregon
Willamette
centric,
Valley.
Not even just Oregon.
Forgive me.
It's a very narrow little patch, probably 100 miles long, 30 miles wide.
Wow, I didn't know.
They grow in Turkey, Italy, Spain, and the Willamette Valley.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for us.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Nice.
It's an Oregon specialty.
Pickleopolis, and I love dill pickles.
Pickleopolis, the kingdom of brine. Which is the best thing?
Our biggest seller is obviously the cucumber garlic dill. These are about, these ones here are about 8 days old. And depending on the weather, you know, they can cure quicker or slower. But this is kind of our flagship pickle. And then you know, we're here at the farmer's market, and we buy stuff from the different vendors around here, and the asparagus is from Gala Springs right there, and the fiddleheads are from Springwater Farms right down there. And
some people talk about getting produce within 100 miles of their restaurant. Yeah. You're talking about getting it within 20 feet.
Yeah, we try it. Our limit is about 100 yards at this point.
It's the only way to do it, right?
He really knows what he's doing with a pickle.
I can't really talk anymore because my mouth is full of pickles.
We're going to work off some of this food. Well, to talk about it anyway. Bicycling is big in Portland. This is the only place I've ever been where the bike lane is actually two lanes, one reserved just for passing.
One of the things that has become really clear is that there are bicycles everywhere.
Yeah. It's about the infrastructure. They put that, then it became possible for people to use it. And then there's a whole scene around supporting bikes and the bike culture of it, the art of it.
We've come to City Bike Shop, where they are into the Portland bike culture in all forms.
So in Portland, they have a lot of off-road bike paths. So there's a 40-mile loop where you don't need to be with cars.
And you have a radio show about biking.
That's right. It's the KBOO Bike Show. We broadcast on KBOO 90.7 in Portland.
There's the Big Lebowski Ride, the bike jousting. What other fun events can you list off?
There's the zombie ride. There's unicycle rides. The Prince versus David Bowie ride, where they go places and they have different singing and dancing episodes in different places. Very popular. The World Naked Bike Ride is a pretty unbelievable thing. I went last year and there is about 2,000 people naked on a bike.
Thank you very much, sir.
Bells? Bells and whistles?
Yeah, bells and whistles. Man. Yeah.
I should start riding my bike more.
Just so you can have a pull bell.
Absolutely.
The Willamette River cuts right through the center of town, and that means lots of bridges. Depending on who you ask, there are 8, or 11, or 12. There's even a bridge tour run by Sharon Wood Wortman, also known as the Bridge Lady. We've met up with one of her school groups, and some of the kids are certain the bridge is falling down. Run!
Run!
It's all your guys' fault!
Dive in the river! I should know better than to instigate
better.
Children,
yes,
I know.
Yes.
No, they're not going to jump. You're smarter than that, right?
No,
no. No, you're not. No.
Yeah, there you go.
Amtrak!
Entering the steel bridge lower deck over the Willamette River. I can see the Burnside over to my right and ducks down below me. Nice breeze and a bridge that looks post-apocalyptic.
You are listening to the Traveling Radio Show in Portland! Woo!
Kids bring to mind amusement parks, and Portland has one of the real classics, Oaks Park. Known as the Coney Island of the West, it was opened in 1905, way on the outskirts of town, right along the river, and it still has a wonderful old-school feel. They even have a gigantic roller rink and a midway with lots of rides.
Oaks Amusement Park, established 1905. We're right in the center of the midway. Check it out. Here comes the band.
I'm here with Mary Beth Coffey, the senior manager of Oaks Park.
So tell me about the history of the park.
The park was started as a trolley park, and there were thousands of them around the United States. And at the end of the line, there was usually fallow ground. Like a train yard. They put it out in the worst part of the, you know, community. So this was the inner urban trolley that went, you know, from downtown out to Oaks Park. And that's how it started. So the park went on, had a number of auditoriums, rides, animals. It had a roller skating elephant. They had a monkey house here. In fact, John Philip Sousa played here about 12 times. We have written information about how much he liked it here, etc.
So you've worked here for 25 years.
25 years.
Why do you do this?
Where else do you go to work thinking up how somebody's going to have a good time? It's just too fun not to. We asked a group of our employees why they come back every year, and this one kid says, this was great, "Hey, who doesn't like vomit?"
Okay.
That's great. We call that a human protein spill.
Just off the roller rink, high up in an enclosed booth, sits longtime organist Keith Fortune. But getting the microphone up there is not easy. How long have you been playing at the park?
Actually, I've been here in and out about approximately 40 years. I celebrated my 21st birthday playing the same afternoon that I'm doing right now.
That's wonderful.
Same afternoon.
That's fantastic. Do you know any Jimi Hendrix?
No, not a band.
On the first Thursday of every month up in the Alberta neighborhood is what is gently called the Alberta Art Walk. But really, it's a giant neighborhood party that showcases Portland's young alternate culture. I'm with Scotty Brazil, a Portland local for many years.
Welcome to the invasion,
yeah,
is what we all call it.
It is an invasion.
It's an art walk, is what it is.
This is not an art walk. I've been on art walks.
This is
Mardi Gras.
Right. It sort of is. It's very Portland-esque because it's organized around the neighborhood, what people value around here and what people want to do about stuff.
So you brought it up. What's Portland?
It's an ever-changing, diverse, urban area that is focused on neighborhoods and community needs and sustainable action to keep that paradigm intact.
Well done. I love to sing and dance, but we're going to head downtown where someone else does the singing and dancing. It's showtime.
You better work.
And now, for an entirely different slice of the city, we're in the Old Town District at Darcel's Showplace, a theater now featuring female impersonators.
Our show is unique in that, for the most part, each girl is their own unique character. We don't try to do, like, we don't copy anybody. We don't copy the Vegas shows or New York or San Francisco. We just do our own thing. You know, people say, well, are you making fun of women? Why do you dress as women? Say, no. We are honoring women. We take what we see visually, the obvious parts of a woman, and we just, blow it up. And so on stage, we want everybody to say, oh my God, so that's like a woman times 1,000. But for the most part, it's humor and laugh and fun. And we all know ourselves as performers, we've all gone through a lot, as everybody does in their life. When we walk in that door, we leave it all at the door. Everybody's living a life, you know? The wealthiest, most popular people, as well as the homeless, poorest people, they all have something. We all have something that we're dealing with. And so to come here and just have a good time, leave it at the door.
So just one more question.
Yes.
Why do you do this?
I love it. This is so fun. I get to be whoever I want to be. I meet people that I never would have met. You know, housewives from small towns. They've never seen a black person, let alone a black dude in a dress.
I'm speaking to a gentlewoman, on the sidewalk out in front of the theater. Are you one of the performers?
I've been here 28 years.
What is your name when you are performing?
Mr. Mitchell.
Mr. Mitchell. Why do you not like the term drag?
I look at the word drag as amateur, and we're not amateurs.
What is it about Portland that makes it uniquely Portland, do you think? Hey, was that a robbery? Man running.
It's not my wallet.
Yeah, it's fine. There goes. Wow. Oh.
They'll catch him.
Wow. Here they come. Yes, we're witnessing a robbery here in front of Darcell's in Portland, Oregon, that tiny little town.
Yeah, he was moving.
He was smiling, though. That's what was odd about
There's
it.
There's something wrong with that.
He's probably high.
He probably enjoys it.
Uh-huh.
He's in Portland.
This is a great town.
Isn't this a great town? Great. Great. They're not giving up.
Was that staged for us?
Yeah.
Come on.
Late at night, known only to the very well-informed, a group of folks ride little bicycles down a big hill at breakneck speeds. Why? Because we're in Portland. We spent a while finding them and their adversaries.
No, the Zoo Bombers are a bunch of bicyclists that ride down the hill at top speed at night. So we're going to be here for that, we think.
Water better?
So are we, though.
I'm the president of this neighborhood association. And when I get home, I'm going to be calling the police.
Well, we'll be here to record it.
You guys are part of the 60% that don't like us, and the other 40s do, so, you know.
One of the things about Portland that we kept hearing about were the Zoo Bombers.
That's us.
And I can tell, because they said little bikes, crazy-looking guys.
Are you out here looking for Zoo Bombs?
Yeah.
I'll answer any quick questions you got.
To people, but you can't bring any.
You can't bring anything up to the hill. So if you want to ask anything, probably now's the best time.
What do you mean up to the hill?
There's a whole ton of us.
Yeah.
But that is like a recording-free area.
What are the Zoo Bombers?
We're just a loosely associated group of people that all get together and ride our bikes down a hill.
Why?
Because it's fun.
Why little bikes?
They go faster and they're accessible.
Accessible.
I got this frame for $5, and it's one of the fastest bikes you'll ever see.
Meaning you built the bike.
But I mean, the basis of it is just kids' bikes, because you can go to a Goodwill and buy a bike for $5, and with, just a little bit of maintenance on it, it's great for going down a hill. And it's safer than a road bike, because you have lower center of gravity and you're closer to the ground.
It's just about going out at night with your custom-made machines and bombing down the hill.
Yep.
Hence the Zoo Bombers. And Zoo Bombers because we're at the
zoo.
When
we bomb.
what's your name?
First I'm
name.
Dutch.
Jeff.
Hey, dude.
Nice to meet you, Dutch. Have a safe trip.
Thank you.
Okay, guys.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Take care.
You too.
Since we're already out so late, we're heading out to a gathering of food carts. It's a big thing here to find some snacks, and we're told it's about the fries.
We are out and about at 11 o'clock at night. We're in southeast Portland to sample what are ostensibly the best French fries in the world from a food cart up here. And is that the French fry cart over there? Potato Champion, that's it.
Potato Champion.
Okay, I think we need to go over there now. This is very exciting.
Yeah.
We've heard all about you guys.
Great.
What is the classic thing, if I had a classic thing?
The poutine. It's fries with white cheddar cheese curds, smothered in gravy.
That's it.
Sold.
That's it.
That's the one.
We're having the one. I want the one.
Okay. Do you guys want to share a double?
We do.
Okay. And your name?
The Traveling Radio Show.
Excellent.
The Traveling Radio Show.
We love you for that.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
These are really good. Stay tuned. In part 3 of the Traveling Radio Show Goes to Portland, we'll read from the Lewis and Clark Expedition Journals, stumble into Spartacus, and go backstage at the Starlight Parade.